Hello and welcome to the first Norwegian betting podcast of the 2024 season. Norway is back, and that means that we are back to look ahead to the new season in Eliteserien, Obosligaen and beyond. I'm Selectabet, and I'm joined by Greg and, of course, David, the font of all knowledge when it comes to Norwegian football. How's things?
Very well, thank you.
Delighted to be back.
Looking forward to the start of, we're looking forward to the start of the Norwegian season.
I'm more surprised that we are still here after five seasons, to be fair. It's flown by.
Still getting away with it, I think.
Yeah, season five, which is quite remarkable, when we started back in 2020. And also David's been with us since then. So obviously great to have David on board. And I think as each season passes, we're probably getting a little bit slicker. We're finding new markets. I wouldn't say we're getting any better at pronouncing the sides' names, but that will come. That will come.
Yeah, and this is the season.
Apart from you, David, obviously. I meant me and Paul.
This is the season, Greg, where we're actually going to take a trip to Norway and take in our first Norwegian. I know you have, as you regularly remind us, seen football played in Norway.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
With St Johnston, but we're going to take in a first Eliteserien game and probably an Obosligaen game as well.
Yeah, we're going to head out sometime mid-September and spend the weekend in Oslo with David, so yeah, really looking forward to that. We'll catch a few games, and by that time we'll probably be pretty fluent in Norwegian anyway, so very exciting.
Certainly well after a few beers, I know that much. So this is just really a bit of a scene-setting podcast. I'd like to have called it an anti-post podcast, but there's very little by way of markets. So hoping that David is just going to debrief us on what's been happening in Norway, I was going to say over the summer, but obviously the break isn't over the summer over there, it's kind of a winter break, just ahead of the season starting. This is the 80th top tier season in football in Norway, David. Plenty to look forward to. Bodø Glimt to obviously go into the season as champions. They won their third title in 4 years. They've got Champions League football to look forward to. They are 11-10 to retain their title. And do you see it panning out any other way?
I definitely have them as favourites myself. I think when you look at the way they've improved the squad in the winter, the way they've weakened rivals, and I just think that the continuity of the manager adds a lot as well. Molde have looked really good in Europe so far this year. I think they'll run them really close. And Brann, I think, is the other team, the only other team in with a chance this year. Brann have pretty much got the same squad that did really well last year. So those three are the ones that will probably be challenging for the title. I don't think it will come from anywhere else.
Yeah, and looking at some of the transfer activity, David, Greg, you touched on this before we started recording. Bodø Glimt have lost 57 goals from last season in the shape of Pellegrino and Faris. What have they done to replace those goals so far?
Brought the gang back together. We talked about it so often last year. Yeah, Jens Petter Hauge, one of the old favourites from the 2020 season. He's back on loan from Frankfurt. And Håkon Evjen, he was actually just before our time, he was the player of the year in the Eliteserien the year before we started up here. He was a teenager back then for Bodø Glimt. He's back in Bodø. So yeah, those two are the main two that have been bought in to try and try and solve that huge hole that has gone missing.
It's a massive hole, isn't it? It's a massive hole because Pellegrino scored 24 goals last season, and he led the way in assists to 14 as well.
Top assister, top scorer. I mean,
doesn't get much more goal than that, does it?
Huge loss. Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that was noticed with Pellegrino was that he didn't contribute to the pressing game, which is something that Bodø did really well before Pellegrino. So I think what we will see this year is a return to the kind of old Bodø, high press, really high intensity, and try to score goals through transition, which was something
he was too cool for that, wasn't he? He was too cool for running about pressing the ball.
Interestingly though, David, I think one thing that's been a feature of Glimt under Kjell Knutsen is how he's been able to replenish the squad year after year.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that they've done really well. They tend to sign players that they know, which is something that keeps happening over and over again. They like players who have played in Elite Serien as well. So this summer, not just Jens Petter Hauge and Håkon Evjen, but Jostein Gundersen, Tromsø captain last year, he signed. Kasper Haug, Stabæk striker from last year, he signed as well. And August Mikkelsen, who was really, really good for Tromsø 2 years ago, before he moved to Hammarby in Sweden, he signed as well. So a lot of players that know the league, young, most of them. And it should suit them really well, I think.
That's a good point, though, David. When they obviously lose these kind of star players to other leagues, they then just turn to the Elite Serien itself and sweep up a lot of the talent within the Elite Serien.
Yeah, they've done it before with Faris Pemi. They did it. Erik Botheim, he was another one who they signed for free from Rosenborg, sold for a load of million. And they're doing it again with Mikkelsen and other, Haug and Gundersen. So, yeah, it's something that they do well, and it's quite smart business plan financially.
And one of the most strategic arrivals, David, might well be in the dugout, Gauta Hellstrup.
That was really good, Paul.
Thank
That's
you.
Probably much better than Gauta.
Yeah, indeed. So, obviously, he came in from Tromsø. And I think at the time you kind of mentioned that he was he the one that was maybe lined up as a successor to Knutsen?
Well, I think everybody thought that at the time. Gauta Hellstrup led Tromsø to an unbelievable third place finish last year and into Europe against all odds, pretty much. And surprised everyone, I think, by announcing his departure to Bodø Glimt to be the assistant manager. So, yeah, I think everybody thought, well, that's Knutsen leaving in the summer. Hellstrup will take over the reins, but Knutsen since signed a new contract, so it's a little bit of a strange one, an interesting one, but it makes a really good managerial team up in Bodø, and obviously weakens Tromsø, which is bad news for Tromsø.
Yeah,
it's probably fair to say they overachieved massively last season, Tromsø, to finish joint second. With Brann, I think we did say quite loudly at the start of the season we really fancy Brann to have a good season, and they really did, didn't they? They only finished 9 points behind Bodø. I guess from Molde's perspective, though, they'll be looking for massive improvement this year in terms of what being 19 points off the pace. And the big question is, David, obviously Rosenborg have a bit of history in terms of the club, that not so much now in terms of Bodø Glimt have come to the kind of limelight, but Rosenborg are a side that you'd always associate with Norwegian football, and they've been absolutely hopeless for seasons now, and they finished 31 points behind Bodø last season. Do you think there's any chance of Rosenborg having a decent season, even making top four?
I'd be surprised. Rosenborg have got financial issues, there's absolutely no denying that. When you look at their transfer ingoings and outgoings, basically they signed a goalkeeper from Stjørdals Blink, and they signed a boy on loan from Slovakia, and that's it.
Is that maybe why they went for a kind of rookie manager? Is it financial issues?
So a new manager, Alfred Johansson's been brought in. He was the under 19 manager at Copenhagen.
It's quite a move, isn't it? From
a huge move,
managing
and comes with a good reputation as a coach, but to go from that to managing the biggest team in Norway is a huge leap. They've lost Skarsheim's gone. They've not really lost any big players. I guess the biggest one is the goalkeeper. Andre Hansen has left and gone to Odd, so he's probably the biggest loss. But yeah, I can't see them challenging the top four. I just don't think they've got a good enough squad. I'd be very surprised if they get anywhere near the top three.
Yeah, quite a curious appointment, Alfred Johansson, only 33, David, very young to be stepping into those shoes.
Yeah, and a little bit of a trend, I would say, in the latest year this year. We've seen quite a few manager changes, so Lillestrøm have brought in a guy called Andreas Georgsen. He is pretty he's never had a managerial job himself. He's been assistant in England with Arsenal and Brentford and Southampton, or not even assistant, just a coach. Kenneth Dokken at Odd. Mm-hmm. He was an assistant with a few
Kenny
as well. Kenny Dokken. And then Tromsø have replaced Helstrup with Jürgen Wieck, who was the assistant there before. So, yeah, it's a bit of a trend that bringing some young managers in instead of going for more experienced ones. And I think if you look at the other guys who came in at the end of last season, which was the Haugesund manager, which was Oscar Thorvaldsen from Iceland. I think the Kristiansund changed the manager last year as well and brought in a young guy, Amund Skiri. So there seems to be a trend in Norway for young managers, and it's... yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it goes this year.
Yeah, I noticed there's also a trend of management teams.
Yeah.
David, obviously Viking, have got two guys in charge there as well, but also Sandefjord.
Yeah, Sandefjord as well. And that'll be, I think that'll be their fifth year now in charge, Hans Ødegaard and Andreas Hegstrøm. So they have done a really good job to keep Sandefjord in the league so long. I have to say, I think the time might be up this year. They've lost a whole host of important players, including their two central defenders, their two starting central defenders. I think Sandefjord could well find themselves in a bit of trouble this year.
I guess the big question is, David, of the sides that have come up from the Obersligaen, so Fredrikstad have come up as champions, and I think you've always kind of kept us on the right path. That Fredrikstad are quite a big club in yeah. Norway. They've got a big history there. Kristiansund have come up through the playoff, and Koffa have come up as well. I'm guessing, in terms of the bookies, they'll be expecting Koffa to struggle. But looking at the post markets in terms of the win in the league, interesting that Fredrikstad are shorter than quite a few sides, actually,
yeah.
In terms of winning the league. There isn't much in the way of Amp Post, as Paul said. It's not really an Amp Post podcast, but interesting to see the bookies recognising that Fredrikstad should come up and be decent.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Fredrikstad is a traditionally quite a big club. They've won the top flight 9 times. So the last time was in 1961, so it's a bit of a while ago. But I think they have a decent fan base, a decent stadium, I think about 12,000 seats. So they should do all right. They've signed pretty well in the summer, it looks like. They've really strengthened the squad, not really lost anyone. And they were by far the best team in Obos last year. They have a really, really strong defence. Don't concede many goals. I think they conceded something like 22, 23 goals last year in Obos again. So, yeah, they're coming up with a bit of a reputation as being pretty stingy in defence. And I think that will probably continue. But they've definitely added a bit of quality going forward as well. So expect them to be better. I think in my tips, I've got them somewhere around 10th or 11th.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's where I see them.
So in terms of top of the table, David, you've obviously got Glimt as rightful favourites. I suppose, I presume, you would expect Molde to be the ones that kind of push them all the way.
Yeah, I think Molde, if you watch what they've done in Europe this year, is just shown that they've got a really good team. They beat Legia Warsaw 3-2 at home, and I think a lot of people thought, go to Warsaw, probably struggle, and they went there and won 3-0. Beat Club Bruges at home as well. Unfortunately, went there and lost and get put out. But I think they showed enough over those two games, especially after a long winter break, that they are going to be definitely a challenger to Bode. I think Fredrik Gulbrandsen has come back off the winter break and he looks really, really good. He's a striker who signed for them last year and he was struggled with injuries, didn't really look at his best, but he's come back looking an absolutely different player, really, really sharp. He scored five goals in those four European games, and I think he's going to fire Molde to a much, much better place than last year, which was quite disappointing. I think they finished fifth last year, so fully expect them to be challenging with Molde this year.
Yeah, just looking, they finished 19 points behind Glimt. Last season, the season before, it was Glimt who finished 18 points behind them. So it's quite a swing in terms of the points between the two of them. I just hope this season we maybe get a closer title race. In terms of the manager, Erling Moe, was he ever under any pressure given that they finished fifth in the league, or did that European run help kind of take some of the pressure off him?
Yeah, there was never really any pressure on him, it seemed. I think the fans were a bit unhappy with how inconsistent they were, because some weeks they looked like world beaters, some weeks they just didn't turn up. He's obviously a bit of a legend in those parts with what he's done for Molde, winning leagues and turning them into one of the best two clubs in the country. So I think he's got quite a long leash there, and I expect he'll have plenty of time to try and win the league again this year. And obviously, a good European run gives him even more credit in the bank.
Yeah. In terms of betting, obviously, Greg, you're saying there's not many anti-post markets, so we can only really go on the prices that are available to win the league. We've got Glimt, we've got Molde, and then Brann at 72 to win the league. Viking at 14-1. We've not spoken about them yet, David. I'm assuming Trippic will be a key player for them again this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've unfortunately for them, they've lost David Brecalo. So if you remember, Viking were pushing for the title last year. And then Brecalo got injured. Their centre-half, the best centre-half in the league, he got injured. And they just collapsed. They just couldn't do it without him. So he's gone now. He's gone to Orlando City in the MLS. And yeah, they've not really replaced them with a centre half yet. They're trying to do that with the guys that were already there. I do think that is an issue. And yeah, they've also lost Marcus Solbakken, who was a really important part of the midfield. And they've not replaced him either. So I think Viking are just a little bit weaker than they were last year. And it proved that they weren't quite good enough. When it came down to it, and I just can't see them being good enough for a full season again. It's 2 years in a row now that they've kind of looked like they're the real deal and then collapsed. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to take them seriously.
Yeah,
I think the top three again, it has to look beyond Boda, Molde, and Brann again for me in terms of top three. There'll be a surprise package somewhere, but yeah, I think that's a fairly solid top three. I think.
Yeah, and I guess it tells its own story that Tromsø are 100-1. To win the league compared to some.
Oh yeah, I don't think any of us this time last year would imagine that Tromsø would finish joint second and qualify for Europe. I think we probably thought they'd maybe finish mid-table comfortably. And I guess a big reason for that is their away form last season was tremendous. And seasons gone by, they've really struggled away from home.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's because of travel or whatever, but they've always been a good home team. But away from home last season, that's what's really propelled them into that kind of third place. Yeah. So yeah, not expecting a good season for them at all next season. I know that sounds really harsh, but I think they definitely overachieved last season.
Yeah, I actually really worry for Tromsø. I think they could be in a bit of trouble this year. Not relegation trouble, but just bottom half trouble. They've lost a manager who was a huge part of what they did well. They've lost a captain, centre-half, the best centre-half. They've lost Niklas Westerlund, who is, for me, the best right wing-back in the league. They've also lost El Hadji Diouf, not the spitting one, a different one. And I just think they're just considerably weaker. The guys they've signed don't really give me much conviction that they're going to be a top half team. I honestly think they might finish bottom half this year. I just think they'll really struggle. What they relied on last year was a lot of goals from Vegard Erlien. And for me, he was running a bit hot last year. I'd be surprised if he managed 15 this year. I think they're going to struggle, Tromsø.
And I guess as well, last season, they probably took advantage of the fact that quite a few other sides struggled. There was no surprise, obviously, Rosenborg struggled, but I guess Lillestrøm kind of tailed off, Viking tailed off as well.
Molde as well, yeah.
Yeah, and Salzburg, kind of, they were, I think, a good start to the season. So that's not to take anything away from where they finished last season, but yeah, it'd be very interesting to see where they finish. And I guess, to your point, David, at the start of the podcast, in terms of Sandefjord, kind of stayed up by the skin of their teeth, really. Again, Haugesund struggled. Hamkam struggled. I think those three sides are going to be struggling again, probably, especially with Fredrikstad coming up. He'll probably be strong. What's your thoughts on Kristiansund and Koffa coming up?
Yeah, I mean,
Koffa whipping boys.
Yeah, I do fear. I fear that they might be. I think they might be better than what Ålesund were last year. one thing, I mean, there's absolutely no denying that they deserved to get promoted last year. They were, I think they were the second best defence and the third best attack. I think they conceded just 31 or 32 goals and they scored like 51 or 52 goals. So pretty good all-round team. I just worry that they were punching above their weight last year in the Obus League and they've not signed anyone who I think is going to make them significantly better. I think Coffa will struggle. I think Coffa and Kristiansund and Sandefjord for me are the bottom three. I think Kristiansund obviously have a little bit of elite season history behind them quite recently, but again, just the squad doesn't strike me as a squad that's going to be really competing.
Kristiansund last season, they only won 14 of their 30 matches.
Yeah, exactly.
They struggled, didn't they?
The playoff was insane. They obviously knocked down Vålerenga in the playoffs. They were 2-0 down after the first leg and they managed to win the second leg 2-0 away from home and win it in penalties. They haven't signed many players who I think are going to make them a lot better. So they signed Pape Gay from Aberdeen.
Yeah.
I don't know much about him, but
he's not been working.
No, exactly. So if it's not working out in Aberdeen, I'd be surprised if he really came here. They've signed a couple of guys, maybe Ruben Alte from Ranheim. He's a really talented player. He could make a difference. And they signed Daddy's Boy, Franklin Daddy's Boy, Nian Etui from Sandefjord. He did well for Sandefjord last year, and he could be good for Kristiansund, but I do worry that they'll struggle. They do, and Benjamin Stocker, who was the top scorer in Obus last year, he's gone. So their top scorer left, and I find it hard to see how they managed to stay up again. I think Kristiansund and Coffa and Sandefjord for me are the three in the biggest trouble.
Yeah, and Coffa's first game is on Tuesday at home to HamKam. They're actually 5-4 favourites for that match, Coffa. In terms, we'll speak about the league in a minute in terms of this weekend's fixtures. I guess for those who are new to Norwegian football, in terms of the fixture list that tends to happen, we'll probably have a live game on a Saturday at 5 o'clock. There'll be an early kickoff on a Sunday, 4 or 5 games Sunday at 4 o'clock. That's the main kickoff time, isn't it, really? Sunday at 4. You've then got a TV game at 6:15 on the Sunday. So that tends to be the split of the fixtures across the league.
Yeah. And there's a few interesting games this year as well. So Odder being allowed to play on Sunday this year, this first game week, because it's their 130th anniversary. I'm not really sure what significance 130 years has, but... that's why they are starting the season against Haugesund on Sunday, and there's going to be a midnight game this year for the first time.
Yes.
So it's officially not a midnight game, but I think Tromsø are going to be playing at home to Coffa.
Solstice.
It's going to be 10 o'clock kickoff Norwegian time, so it's going to be finishing around midnight, and the summer sun in Tromsø will still be hanging around.
Nice.
So yeah, really nice wee touch for the league. I'd imagine that will be around mid June, probably. Yeah, June.
Yeah, 21st of June ish. Yeah.
Good stuff. We'll touch on some of the fixtures this weekend. Generally, Greg, we don't really like to bet until the league's bedded in for a few weeks.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. I think at the moment, looking through the fixtures, there's probably a couple that maybe stand out. But again, they're short odds. You're not really got much to go on. Molde 2-5 at home to Strømsgodset. Bodø are away to Fredrikstad in the early kickoff on Monday. Again, not a huge fan of betting against newly promoted sides, even though it's Bodø and Fredrikstad are at home. Rosenborg look really vulnerable at 7-10 at home to Sandefjord. So again, I don't think there's nothing really much jumping out. And even Brann away to Tromsø, 10-11 odds on away from home.
Forecast is cold. It's to be -2. Feels like -10 in Tromsø this Monday. So yeah, not the most enjoyable start to the season for Brann.
No, even Viking Sarpsborg, Viking at 4-5. It's a really tricky card, and I think Lovestrøm and a bit short as well at 3-5 at home to newly promoted Christensen. So for me, I'll probably have some small stakes on some early goal bets, and that'll probably be it. But I don't think there'll be any tips from the Elite Azerian anyway.
David, I noticed that Rosenborg lost 5-0 to Viking.
They did.
In Stavanger on Monday. Is there much to be read into that?
It was quite a weak Rosenborg team, in fairness. They had a few players away on international duty. They had a few players they weren't playing just because of some little niggles and stuff. So yeah, it wasn't their absolute best team, but still worrying, I would say, going into the new season. Just to touch on a few bets, like I'm with Greg, I wouldn't be betting on things, but there's a few spot bets I quite like. Jens Petter Hauge on his Bodø/Glimt league return is 2-1 to score any time.
Nice.
Definitely the biggest goal threat you'll get from Bodø/Glimt this weekend. He hits penalties and he looked pretty sharp in the European games we've seen. And the other one I talked about him before was Fredrik Gulbrandsen. He's a Molde player. He is at home to Strømsgodset this weekend and he's 2.4 to score any time. Scored 4 goals in 2 games against Legia Warsaw. Has looked really, really sharp to get him for 2.4 to score any time. This is the last time you'll get him at this price this season. I don't know why he's priced at this, because he's going to be top scorer in the league this year, and I think 2.4 any time looks like a really, really solid price.
Okay, you've kind of jumped ahead of the game there. We're just kind of going to move on to potential top scorers. We'll get there in a minute. Before we do, in terms of the league, then we're looking at potentially a Glimt title. We Molde push them all the way. Greg, you fancy Brann to be amongst that top three. David, is there anyone who can break into that?
I think it's going to be difficult. I think because of the manager changes, it's hard to know exactly what teams are going to provide. But for me, I think Lillestrøm have strengthened the best out of the teams who were kind of up there.
I'm looking forward to Effie Lucky.
Effie Lucky, yeah. We've not seen much of him in pre-season. Yeah, we've not seen much of him in pre-season, unfortunately. So not really sure. But yeah, they've signed Erik Kitolano from Molde, who was a bit of a fringe player at Molde, but was really good at Tromsø before that. And even with Molde last year, he had a really good spell during the season where he was scoring on quite a lot of goals. They've signed Sandemoen Foss from Sandefjord. Really, really good defender. Should give them some good depth in defence. And they've signed Ellen Knudsen from Molde. Should give them a good option at right wing back or even further up the field. They've not really lost anyone who was an important player to them. So I think if anyone's going to push up one, it could be Lillestrøm.
Okay, so that could be a dark horses. In terms of flops, you've already kind of mentioned Tromsø, obviously overperformed last season to finish third, but you don't expect them to follow that up with much this season.
No, I think they're really going to struggle. They've just really struggled in pre-season, lost games against HamKam, and I think they got battered off Rosenborg, they got beat off Vålerenga, Christensen beat them, Viking beat them. It's been a really, really poor pre-season. I know that pre-season doesn't mean everything, but it doesn't help the confidence when you've lost so many important figures in the club to then have a really poor pre-season. I think it sets you on the back foot. So yeah, Tromsø is the one for me that I think could surprisingly be quite low down.
Okay, and in terms of relegation, you've already given us your bottom three.
Yeah, I think that'll be the bottom three. If there does happen to be any surprises from Christensen or Koffa, I think another team who's maybe lost quite a few players this year is Odd, or maybe not lost so many players, but just don't look that good. They've got a new manager as well. Just struggled in pre-season, look as if they're quite leaky, quite slow at the back. So yeah, maybe Odd could be one that could drop further down, but for me it's those three at the bottom.
Yeah. You've kind of alluded to potential top goal scorers, Jens Petter Hauge being one of them. Just looking at his previous scoring stats, obviously he played wide in his first stint at Glimt, returned 35 goals in 118 appearances. It's going to take something for him to finish top goal scorer this season.
Yeah, I don't think he'll finish top scorer. I think he'll probably score a good number of goals, in fairness. I think he looks like a real goal threat. I think whoever becomes the Glimt striker becomes a threat. Like Kasper Haug has been struggling with injury and he's not really played much in pre-season. If Kasper Haug can get nailed down that spot in the point attack, then it could be him. Other than him, though, I think Gulbranson, as you said, Gulbranson at Molde has looked really good. And the other one is maybe Lars-Jørgen Salvesen at Viking, a bit of an outside shout. He has looked really good in pre-season. He always threatens to become a really good striker. Just hasn't quite hit the heights yet. But I think maybe with Viking being a super attacking team, maybe Lars-Jørgen Salvesen could finally get the season that he's kind of promised for a while.
To be fair, I think a fully fit David Weatherstone could score goals for Cody Glenn this season. Have you got a chance?
Yeah, maybe.
Even at his age, is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I think, unless, Greg, you've got anything else you want to discuss, I think that's kind of got a fairly good grounding on Eliteserien to take us.
Yeah, I'm just excited to speak about the Obersligaen.
Well, let's do that just now. Obviously, the big news, I suppose, is that Vålerenga are going to be in Obersligaen.
No, it's Levanger are going to be in Obersligaen, actually.
With Vålerenga out of the top flight for the first time since 2001. David, how's that going down in Norway?
Yeah, very, very well. For most of Norway. Really looking forward to seeing them in Obersligaen. I think it was a really enjoyable day when they got relegated. Just the way they went down, it was classic of them, like losing at home, and it was something they did all season last year. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think it's definitely got the hallmarks of when Brann got relegated. It's a huge club in the Obos. They have been pretty much, they've been signing players in the summer, trying to strengthen the squad. They've not lost a whole load of players that were important to them, and they've still got the same manager who has been promoted before with Lillestrøm, and I think Vålerenga are going to be pretty strong.
Yeah, I noticed that they're 1-2 to win this weekend, and I'm guessing those are the kind of prices that we're going to have to get used to this season.
Well, yeah. That's a big price, probably. They'll probably be going off in the next couple of months a lot shorter than that. We might get some early value, but I probably agree with David that, for me, Vålerenga should really cruise this league and just repeat what Brann did two seasons ago. Obviously, we lost Shaid Jervenhood last season to relegation, and up have come the mighty Levanger. And
unbeaten last year, Levanger.
Well, there you go. So what were you expecting from Levanger, David?
I mean, I'm probably not expecting too much from them. It's not a huge club, but they went unbeaten last year. They've strengthened the squad for this year. So I think you've got to expect them to at least have a right good.
Because Moss came up last season, didn't they? They're probably a stronger team than Moss, so there's no doubt they can compete.
Absolutely.
In the league this season. And what about the other two sides that have come up?
Yeah, so Egersund as well, they've come up kind of similar to Levanger, I think, probably expected to go down. Leen Oslo is probably the one who has got the most potential as a club. They're a slightly bigger club. They've got a huge, huge rivalry with Vålerenga, so that's going to be a really interesting one this year. I think all the promoted teams will probably find it a bit difficult, because I think if you look through the other teams in the league, there's not a whole load of sort of smaller teams now. I think Brynne will struggle. I think Moss might struggle a little bit more this year.
It does look like a really competitive league, especially when you factor in Stabæk and Alisson are down in there as well. You've got, obviously, Sandnes, Sogndal, Start. You may expect a bit more from this season. They were all kind of fairly poor last season, especially Sogndal and Sandnes. So definitely scope to be a really interesting league, the Obersligaen. And I think there could be a divide in terms of the quality. I think you're going to have maybe five or six really good teams, and you're going to have five or six really rubbish teams.
Yeah. I think you'll have Vålerenga and Stabæk as your two favourites, and then you've got Ålesund not far behind. And then, as you say, Start and Sogndal, probably the next two. And then maybe a few other teams pushing for that playoff spot. I think that's what makes the Obos so exciting, though, is you've got four playoff spots as well as the two promoted spots. So teams always feel like they've got a chance. Obviously three relegation spots, one of them being a playoff relegation spot. So you always feel like you might be in the danger zone as well. So that's what I think keeps the Obos so exciting throughout the whole year.
I did notice. sorry, I was going to say, I did notice one piece of transfer activity. David Olsson have signed Noah Solskjaer, son of Ole Gunnar.
Yes. Yeah. He's not a striker, really. I've never been that impressed with him when I've watched them. He is only, 23 now? 23, so, yeah. He's not really impressed me that much when I've seen him. I'd be surprised if he becomes a huge hit at all, to be honest.
Just in terms of the fixtures for the Obersligaen, historically, there'd be a lot of games on a Sunday, games on a Monday, but at the moment, there's quite a lot of Saturday kickoffs at 3 p.m, which is really devastating, really. We much prefer then games to be played on the Sunday or the Monday. But that said, I think after two or three rounds, there's a full card on a Thursday, then the following week is a full card on the Wednesday, then it looks like it's going back to Sunday. So we'll keep you up to speed in terms of when the fixtures are, but at the moment, I think the opening games are all going to be played on the Saturday at 3 p.m.
Yeah, that's next week as well, isn't it? Because it doesn't start until the...
Yes, that's on the 6th.
Yeah.
6th of April is the opening of the Obersligaen.
So, some early thoughts, David, on Obersligaen. I take it we are fully expecting Vålerenga to win this quite comfortably.
Yeah, I do think they'll win it. I think Stabæk might run them close. Stabæk have still got a pretty decent team there as well. But I just think Vålerenga, once they get going and once they get some confidence with some wins, I'd be surprised if they get stopped. They've got some pretty exciting young players there.
Okay, Greg, any early thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, pretty similar to David. I'm really looking forward to the Obersligaen this year. I'm hoping for lots and lots of goals. We'll get lots of early goal bets, and I'm expecting at least three or four of the sides to kick on and have really good seasons. But I'm also expecting some sides to really struggle. So that always bodes well for goals. And I guess that now takes us on to our favourite leagues, which is Division 2 and Division 3.
Yes, over to you.
Well, I guess just in terms of Division 2, there's two leagues. I think there's 14 teams in each league. And in terms of Division 3, it's made up of essentially six mini-leagues, isn't it? Well, I don't say mini-leagues, six leagues, six groups it's called. So lots of sides in those leagues, lots of the B teams from the sides in the Eliteserien and the Obersligaen, and they're leagues that David and I absolutely love. We've done really well last season, and I think last season, David, probably for the first time, really, really focused in on these leagues last season, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, and it definitely paid off. Like, I think we quite consistently picked out some teams that were going to score a lot of goals and win games, and they did, and we followed a lot of second teams home and away, backing for at home and against when they were away. And it's probably something we'll do this year as well. I'll be quite active on like the fourth group of the North Tipping League, and Avdeling Fyre is like Verdal's group. So Verdal is my team, right, that I played for, and they have got Strømsgodset 2, Stabæk 2, Rosenborg 2, and Lillestrøm 2.
Rana!
Our favourite runner. Yeah. Four second teams, three of them from Oslo area. So those will be huge difference between the teams they play against when they visit Strømsgodset and Lillestrøm as to when they come to Verdal. So I'm expecting to be pretty active, especially in that league.
Yeah, but all joking aside, I'm being deadly serious when I say that these leagues are absolute gold mines. And I think with the benefit of team news as well, close to kickoff, we've done really well out these games. There were some cricket scores based on some of the team news that we got as well. And these are the sort of games in which we're way ahead of the bookies in terms of the markets, in terms of the odds as well. So hoping for a repeat this season. Again, these matches tend to be played across Saturday, Sunday, Monday, but most of the B teams play in the Monday. Some play in the Sunday as well. But they'll be just as much a focus for us this season as the Eliteserien and the Obersligaen is.
Yeah, just got to hope that the bookies play ball, Greg.
Hope so. It'd be a lot of bets or goals based, over 1.5 first half goals, match goals. As you know, I'm not a massive fan of half-team full-time, but I think with these matches, we'll probably have a bit more insight than the bookies do. So, yeah, I'm expecting us to get best price.
Okay. David, I guess, is there anything else that we should be looking out for this season that we've not covered so far?
I don't think so, but I mean, obviously we've got the European games, the European teams, Bode, Glimt, Molde, Tromsø, they'll all be playing. So actually, already in game week three, there's a double game week, as you say. So there's I think Molde and Brann are both playing on the Wednesday as well. So there's going to be quite a lot of fixtures getting moved for the things squeezed like in. European games. Yeah, fixtures getting squeezed about. So yeah, just keep an eye on when fixtures are getting moved, because it does happen quite a lot, especially when European games start happening.
We've obviously...
I noticed the national team let everyone down during the week, David. I think it was 3-10 to beat Slovakia.
They've been letting everybody down for years. So it was another disappointing week for a Norwegian fan.
And just on that point, David, we've obviously got Euro 2024 coming up, June, July. I take it the league will be shut down for that period.
Yeah, there is a period where they're not playing games. I mean, it's quite often they'll do that in the summer anyway. They'll have like a 3 or 4 week break. So, yeah, there will be a I think it's like about a 4 week break between this like the start of June and the end of June. Yeah, that sounds about right.
But we'll still have the lower league stuff, I'd imagine, will continue.
Yeah, usually they do. I think the lower league teams usually have a break in July. Kind of end of July, when there's more of a when the work, like schools and stuff, take a break. So yeah, I think there'll be a good overlap between the games that are still going on and the games that are taking a break.
Yeah. Okay. That's been a really useful 40 minutes, I guess, Greg, to fill us in on what's been happening in Norway and what we've got to look forward to in the months ahead. And I guess if anyone's got any questions regarding Norwegian football, David, you'd be happy to field them on Twitter. David's handle is dwetherston11. So make sure you reach out to David if you get any specific questions on what's coming up in Eliteserien, Obosligaen and beyond. Don't forget, you can follow Greg on Twitter at Browning84Greg as well, where you can find out details of how to join his private betting channel. As a special, there's a 50% off at the moment, Greg, to celebrate the start of the Norwegian season.
Yeah, definitely. We're doing a 50% off for the next couple of days just to celebrate exactly that. The return of Norway, it's our fifth season, and really looking forward to it.
I am also writing a preview for the new season. It's kind of based around the fantasy game, the Eliteserien fantasy game, but it's also just a lot of information about transfers and how I think teams will do. So that'll be out tomorrow night. I'll put that up on Twitter.
Nice.
Where can people see that?
I'll put that up on Twitter tomorrow night.
Okay, nice one. And also, Greg, we are giving away a shirt from the champions, Bodo Glimt, to one lucky member that's already on your channel. We're going to launch that competition for this weekend as well.
Yeah, I think it's just nice to get something back in terms of, I think we've been doing this for 5 seasons now, so a little competition to set the season running, and obviously a nice little Bode Glimt strip for one lucky winner.
Indeed, I might enter that competition myself.
It's a very nice foam strip, that one. It's got a lovely bit of detail on it with I don't even know what it is. Is it a Puma? Could be a Lynx. It'll be a Lynx. A nice detail on the thing.
Question, David. How did you get on in last season's fantasy football?
Very badly. So you don't.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot. You're just wondering.
You don't have to take my advice on this fantasy football, but yeah, I finished just about 3,000th in the world, which sounds quite good, but it's not that good because there's about
a population of 5 billion. That's fantastic. Well done.
Yeah, really good. But actually, so I finished about 500th the year before that, and the year before that as well. So last year was a very disappointing year. So this year, I'm back in the game.
It's not easy, is it? It's not easy. Should we not? It's a totally different world to tipping results.
Is there a link where we can all get involved in that, David?
I can definitely link something. Fantasy.eliteserien.no. When I post it on Twitter, should I say X, formerly known as Twitter? When I post that,
if you like,
when I post that there tomorrow, I'll post a link for the fantasy as well.
Yeah, we should definitely get involved in that. Okay, that's us for this kind of opening scene setting podcast for the Norwegian season. We will be back next week where we should have some tips for the games that are being played. In the meantime, hope we have a great opening weekend in Eliteserien and beyond, David. And we're all really looking forward to the season ahead.
Yeah, can't wait. Looking forward to watching football most weekends. And yeah, looking forward to talking about it. So.
Okay, thanks guys.
Thanks everyone, all the best.